Anyhow, praise God. And when I say my lover, my wife is working the sound machine. So if y'all hear on the outside of the thing, you think, ooh, pastor's weird. You're right. And so, anyhow, by the grace of God, let me tell you what we're going to start teaching on the parables. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is like unto. Now, the reason I like that, because we got to really start studying about the kingdom of God. We need to really start understanding that there is a kingdom, it's real, it's personable, and it is made for you. Amen. All right? It's made for you. God prepared a place for you in the kingdom. And when Jesus taught, every time he taught, he set down the 5,000, he set down the 3,000, he taught the disciples on the seashore, he taught the people about the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Like I said last week, he didn't teach you how to walk on water, he didn't teach you how to speak in tongues, he didn't teach you how to do anything else except to know that there's a kingdom prepared for you. He did teach his disciples how to pray. But what did he say? Thy kingdom come,
yes.
Thy
Amen.
Kingdom come, Amen. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to get a grip of this kingdom. We need to start understanding it a little bit better, that it is real, it's tangible, I guess is
yes.
the word that I'm looking for. And so in this, let's go to the Lord in prayer before I get ahead of myself. Dear Father, I thank you so much for your goodness and grace. I thank you, Lord God, that you have brought us to this space and time, Lord Father, that you're teaching us, that you're showing us your power. Yes. You are outside of our time, Lord, and you're letting us know what's going on right now. And you're encouraging our heart, Lord Jesus, Amen. To know you, the Most High God, Amen. To know the place that you've prepared for us,
yes.
to know, Father, that not everybody's getting into the kingdom, only those who are called, who are separated, who are surrendered and subjected unto you, Lord Father. And I thank
yes.
you for that. And so I pray even now through the power of the Holy Ghost that as we speak about the kingdom principles today, Lord God, that you would speak to hearts, that you would move men's minds closer to the cross, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Stop that. Not closer to the cross, beyond the cross and into the kingdom,
Amen.
Father. Because it's more than just about your dying and your raising again. That is the good news. But there is a kingdom yet to be had, Lord Father, and help us to understand that time. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I just tripped over the bag here. That's what I get for walking around with my eyes closed. I would have walked off the front of the step right there. That would have been bad too. Anyhow, the disciples, Jesus has been teaching, all right, and he was teaching about the soils and the seeds. And in Matthew 13 and verse 10, the disciples come to him and ask him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why is Jesus teaching about in parables? Why is he not just coming straight to the point? You know, why are you beating around the bush, Jesus, is what they're asking. And he says in verse 11, and he, meaning Jesus, answered, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries, all right? The hidden things, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. So in that, Matthew 13, 10, and 11, Jesus gives an understanding about the reason that he had just taught about the parable of the sower. And we're going to get into that very parable. We're going to unfold that today, Lord willing. And so after he finished talking about the parable and before he explained it, the disciples said, Jesus, why are you teaching about farmers? Why are you teaching about seeds and soil? Lord, I don't understand. Why are you going about it in this way? Why don't you just come straight out and tell them? And Jesus says, listen, this is mysteries I'm letting you guys know. And I'm letting only the people, the disciples, right? I'm only letting you guys know it. For you, it's known, been made open, the mysteries of the kingdom. I'm letting you, my disciples, my students, the ones who really want to know me, I'm letting you in on a secret. Now, this is a secret that's been told ever since the beginning of time, right? But it's been hidden from those folks that are really smart. It's been hidden from those folks, those people who think that they know more than what the Bible says. It's been hidden from those Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's been hidden from even the prophets of God. It was hidden. It's been held a mystery about this kingdom of heaven. See, it's more than just being a child of Abraham, all right? It's being about a child of the Most High God.
Amen.
Amen? Right? And now he's going to start unveiling that. But first he starts telling about how do you get into the kingdom of God. And that's really about what the parable of the sower and the seeds are. Right? Is how do you get into heaven? And so in that parable in Matthew chapter 13, it says, verse 1, the same day when Jesus went out of the house, he sat down by the seashore, and great multitudes gathered unto him, so that he went into the ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Now, I like that picture, all right? I think I ought to get into the boat and sit down for an hour, and all you guys stand up. Right? Because that's what it says. He sat down in the boat, everybody else stood up. We do it backwards. I'll stand up, you guys sit down. And so, anyhow, and he said, there were many parables that he taught that day, but this one here was recorded for us to know. And he said, Jesus said, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds, all right, seeds fell by the wayside. So you got the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell in stony places, and they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up and became, and because they had no deepness of earth, when the sun was up, they were scorched and became, and because they had no root, they withered away. All right, you see the different things here? And now, verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. He who hath an ear, let him hear. Now, that he who hath an ear, let him hear is repeated several times in the parables when he comes to an end of a parable, and he tells that to all of them. All right, so here Jesus gives this scene, and all of you are sitting down, and I'm taking it, it doesn't say it, but I'm thinking that he's talking to people who know about sowing seed. He must have been around a farming community, because he's not talking about taxes, he's not talking about money, he's talking about something that people knew how to do. And he said, listen, this is what it looks like. The sower, which is a person who goes out and does what the landowner tells him to. Right? All right? So a sower normally is just a laborer. Right? So I would be like a big farming thing, and I own all the farming land. I can't plant it all, so I get sowers to go out and sow. And I make sure that they sow the proper seed in the proper area. But because of the nature of things, seeds fall in different areas. Different parts of the land. Some produce a crop and some don't. In fact, what you see here is only 1/4 of all the seeds that were planted produced anything. Mm-hmm. What's that? The third, 2/3 didn't. Is my math right?
3/4.
Huh?
3/4.
3/4. 3/4 didn't, 1/4 did. Thank you. 1 and 1 are 11, right? So if you didn't know that, you'll find out that my math is really bad. But anyhow, Jesus talks about that, and it tells us in 19, and we'll get to verse 19 here in a verse 19 here in a moment as Jesus starts to explain this. Here he explains about the sower in verses 18 through 23, and he says, "Hear the parable of the sower." And he says, "When anyone hears the word, remember God's word never returns void." Amen. So he starts out with this saying. He who hears the word, he who hears it. Jesus said just before that, he who hath an ear, let him hear. Now this hearing is more than just in the ears. He who understands what I'm saying. Because who here has had kids or a husband or a wife? They might hear you saying something, but do they really understand what you're saying? Take out the garbage. Well, I heard you. I didn't understand that. You know? Amen. Wife, don't buy so many shoes. Well, I heard what you're saying, but I really didn't understand that. You know, that type of thing. And so Jesus is saying we need to really understand. In Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11, he says, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither. All right, understand this. It rains and doesn't go back up. You've never seen snowing up, right? I've been in some bad rainstorms. I've never seen it rain up. Yeah. Seen it rain sideways and it snows sideways, but it always comes from the top and ends up on the bottom. It never goes from the bottom up to the top in a rainstorm. Or a snowstorm. It returns and doesn't return thither. But watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I send it.
Amen.
Okay, now listen to what he said right there, talking about parables and stuff like that. When God sends out his word, it's going to do something. Mm-hmm. Amen? God never returns since. He doesn't send the snow for no reason, right? He doesn't send the rain for no reason. When the rain comes, it helps the crops grow. When the snow comes, it helps everything do what it's supposed to do. And when it does, then things are going to grow and it's going to produce something. When God's word is preached out, even in parables, it's going out, it's going to produce. It never returns void.
Amen.
God's word will do one of two things: draw you close or drive you away.
Yeah.
All right? And if it draws you close, then you're going to produce. It will produce goodness out of you, right? But if it pushes you away, you will have no depth in your understanding. You'll say, well, that was a good sermon, but I'm not going to apply that in my life, right? It was nice to hear the pastor say, it was great to hear, read from the Bible, but I'm never going to allow that to be like the rain that comes down and enters into the most inner parts of my life and produces something godly. There are two types of people, well, actually several types of people, but there are those who will allow God to work in their lives through the word, and there's those who have excuses. Jesus talked about, amen, the wayside, all right, and he talked about the stony places, he talked about the thorns, he also talked about the good ground. The stony places, the wayside, remember, quick as they heard the word, they did not understand it. Often you can share the gospel with somebody, the seed, the word of God. You as a sower, you are the sower, right? You go out and you're sharing the gospel with somebody. There's a lot of folks who will not understand it. They'll say, wow, I just don't get that. You know that you're already in a spiritual battle right there and then. You're sowing the word of God. The evil one is coming in like flocks of starlings. Steve, you were telling me about starlings the other day, how they come into a barn. And so one starling doesn't eat that much grain. 10,000 starlings will eat you out of house and home, right? And so these fowls of the air, they come in like starlings into a fresh field, and they consume all of the seed that's on the ground. How do you take care of that? Is there anything that we can do about it? I don't think there's much that we can do about the starlings. The evil that comes and snatches the seed out of a man's heart. I don't think that's a spiritual thing short of praying and asking God to open their understanding. There's not much we can do about that. Amen? So in 19, in Matthew 13, let's go back there. And as Jesus explains the parable, verse 18, I guess we'll start in. And Jesus explains the parable of the sower. He says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, all right, which word is he hearing? Of the kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. Anyone who hears that and he understands it not, then cometh the wicked one. All right? So how can we help someone understand the kingdom of God? Is there a way?
God's got to open their heart.
Amen. There you go, sister. That's what it's going to take.
Yes,
there's nothing you can do.
No.
Except show them the word of God.
Amen.
You cannot make them understand. Mm-hmm. I see so many Christians fighting so hard to make people understand. Yeah. It takes an illumination from the Holy Spirit of God. God has to open their understanding.
Amen.
You know what happens when you try to open their understanding? They close it off. They get more and more hard. They stop listening completely and totally to what's going on. They say, you guys are crazy. There's no kingdom there when you're crazy. I don't want to hear you anymore. Right? And the more you push it, the angrier they get.
Well, it's a foreign language.
It is. Unless you're born again, you can't even understand what the Word of God says. But God says that we go out and we sow, and some of the seed that we're going to sow is going to fall on the wayside. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
All right? It's just what it is. And although you, with a good heart, with great intentions, you put the Word of God out, their heart's going to be in such a condition that they cannot and will not accept it.
Amen.
And if you keep pushing it, all you're going to do is make them angry.
Right.
And when you get somebody angry, you've lost the conversation.
Right. Amen.
You've lost the opportunity. But remember, it's God who opens the heart of man, and we'll get into that in a moment. See, when you come and you explain the kingdom and they will not receive it, the wicked one comes and he wipes it right out. He catches it away. He snatches it right out of their consciousness.
Yeah.
They don't even think it about again. Away that which was sown in his heart, and this is he which received by the wayside. That's the first one. But he that receives... that receiveth in the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and aeon, which means immediately, and immediately receiveth it with joy, or with joy receiveth it. And yet he hath no root in himself. Now, here's another group of people, and I've led a lot of people. I've had that happen to me a lot in my Christian life. You share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God, I want some of that. I got to get me some of that. Oh, it was right there, right beside where you're at, sister. Right there, a young lady heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and desired it. Got baptized and went right back to the world. All right? And that has happened in this ministry right here. Tens of hundreds of times. And to me personally, and I'm sure if you witness to somebody, it's happened to you.
Amen.
Right? Yeah, immediately they accept the word, but when things happen in their life, they turn back to the way of the world.
Right?
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 It's okay, sower.
Or they follow Fluffernutter.
Fluffernutter, yeah.
You know what I mean.
I do, yeah. The other gospel, which is not a gospel.
Right?
And so, Jesus says that these are the stony places. Now, I help Steve Stein. He's a farmer not far from here, and a couple years ago. And you know something that he does in the beginning of the year? He picks stones.
Yep.
I'm picking up stones. He's not digging up bones, I'm picking up stones. And you know why he picks up stones at the beginning of every year?
Good exercise.
It is good exercise, but there's a different reason. You've got to clear the fields. Now, in a person's life, how can I help somebody who has stones in their field? As a sower, as a good farmer.
Love them where they're at.
Love them where they're at. Amen. You know what I do? I go to the field. I understand that the field has a lot of rocks in it, a lot of stones. I don't go and plant the seed immediately. All
right? Right.
Now, Jesus is saying there are some that do that, and I'm not taking away from what Jesus is saying here, because there are some places that they just can't get the seed to grow, all right, because it's stony, all right? But you can get the ground to absorb it. In fact, I know the spot. It's right over here, right? And there's about this much topsoil on top of a bedrock. All right, you can get the, it starts out beautifully in the spring. It starts growing, but after a little while, that corn or whatever's planted over that rock, it dies. The first real heat stroke that comes in the summer, it has no depth of soil, and then that area dies. Any of you farmers know what I'm talking about? And there's really nothing you can do about that spot. It's just that spot. There are people in our lives that are just that spot. But there's other folks that just have a lot of loose rocks. Right? Loose rocks in their life. Right? And so what do I, as a good seed sower, need to do? I need to build a relationship with you.
Amen.
You need to build a relationship with them. Yes. You come along beside them. You love them where they're at. And you help remove the stones before you plant the seed. Right? Before you plant the seed. Not after you plant the seed. Because if you just plant the seed before you remove the stone, that seed has very little chance of growing. But as a Christian, as a seed sower, as I come along beside you, and I love you.
Amen.
I love you. And they say, man, how can you love me? I'm a drunkard. I'm a curser. I'm a this. I'm a that. I'm who you used to be, right? This is because I had stones in my life. You had stones in your life until somebody showed you the goodness and the grace of God.
Amen.
And ministered to you.
Amen.
And came along beside you and loved you and helped take some of that burden, those stones out of your life. And then the seed was able to take root.
Amen.
All right. Now, there are some, like Jesus said here, there are some that you cannot get that stone out.
Right.
That's not for you to do.
Right.
Your job is to love them and to plant the seed.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
You plant the seed in their life. Mm-hmm. Jesus said that there are those who have these stones in their life that you cannot do anything.
Mm-hmm.
The stony places. But he that received the soil, the seed in the stony places, verse 20, the same that hears the word, and immediately they receive it with joy, right? Immediately, they're just all excited about salvation. Yet he hath no root in himself, but endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, they by and by he is offended.
Mm-hmm.
All right? By and by little bit, he gets offended. A little here and a little there. He's... First, he accepts the Lord. Yay, praise God, like the young lady I was talking about. Praise God, woohoo, I love Jesus. Until my friends told me I was crazy for going to church. I came to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, until the world, my buddies that I was hanging around with, said, you're a nut, you know, and I don't want to hang out with you no more. And so they start turning away a little bit at a time. Or when the government says it's okay if you don't go to church.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay if you're not part of a body. In fact, believe Cuomo and don't believe the Bible.
Yeah,
because
right.
Cuomo knows more than the Bible does, right? That's what he said.
Yeah.
And churches believe that. And then those people who are on the fringe, that really had no deep root in themselves, they don't want to sit through the persecution. You know, I really, although I don't want to wear a mask, although I really don't want to do that, but because of the crowd, the peer pressure, the persecution of my stand with Christ,
mm-hmm.
I'll do that. There's many other things that go along. It's not about the mask, because Jesus wrote this long before COVID-19.
Yeah.
All right? And so Jesus is saying, because of the persecution, because the coach tells me I can't go to worship on Sunday because I've got to play a stupid ball game. He wouldn't call it stupid. Or I've got to wrestle. I see so many parents that call themselves Christians that stop worshiping with the body of Christ because of sporting events.
Right. Yeah.
All right? I would love to come and be a part of this, but because I've got track and field, I can't come. They only do it on Sundays. I don't know why schools and, well, colleges do it on Saturday, I think. I don't know why schools don't have their sporting events on Saturday. I don't know why. Well, yeah, I do know why.
Fight flesh and blood.
There you go. We're not. We're fighting powers and principalities. Right? We're fighting the wickedness. It is a spiritual battle that you're seeing here. Because when these persecutions come up, you got to make a stand or you got to go their way.
Amen.
You got to say, I'm going to, my family is going to the body of Christ.
Amen.
All right? And if every Christian who has a child in some kind of league says, no, we're not going to do that. We are going to follow the Lord. We're going to go to church. I don't care what kind of pressures you put on me.
Right.
Saturday, we'll go. Sunday, we're going to church.
Amen.
And if all the Christians did that, guess what?
It
would change. But since the Christians immediately don't want to fight against the school system, don't want to fight against the coaches, don't really want to stand for Jesus Christ, they go away. How many people that you know confess the Lord Jesus Christ and turn away from that confession? More than I want to shake a stick at.
Amen.
Amen. More than I want to shake a stick at. They say that they want to walk with Christ. Well, when the sun's shining, I'll walk with Christ. When it's easy, I'll walk with Christ. But you put a little pressure on me, you put a little persecution on me, well, I'm going to quit. That preacher said something on Wednesday I didn't like, so I ain't going to go to church on Sunday. I see that. Amen, brother? Right? Have we not seen that? So many times, right here.
I didn't like it, so I ain't going. Mm. I got news for you. I'm not here to preach what you like.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
It's not about your feelings. I mean, I love you. I care about your feelings. But if I say something that hurts your feelings and draws you to God, praise God.
Amen.
And if I'm preaching something out of the Word of God and it hurts your feelings and it makes you leave, praise God. Yeah. I mean, I'm not as happy about it, but it is what it is. Jesus said that there's going to be people who have stony hearts, stony places, that will not accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, will not accept the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they got stony places in their heart. I love the frou-frou, nutter butter gospel. All the unicorns and rainbows. Oh, praise God for that. Love it, love it, love it. But when the Bible says that I got to change my ways to walk with Him, I ain't having none of that. Too many people in the church, and I might lose half the congregation today, right? Too many people in the church say that, feel that way. Because of the hard teaching, because of persecution. They immediately turn around and go back to the places that they were. Why? Because they had no root in themselves.
Right.
It wasn't that the seed was bad. It wasn't that the sower was bad. It's that they had no root within themselves. All they wanted was the sweetness on top. You know, they didn't want the good meat. They only wanted the cream. Right?
Amen.
And once they got through the cream, they didn't want what the rest of the gospel teaches. Right? And so that's those who have stony places. Now, again, how can we help with the stony places? We got to love those people. Right? We don't pick up the rocks in their heart and throw it at them. All right? You without sin cast the first stone. Right? Okay? That's taking something and adding it in a different place. Now, there are those people that are like that. There's nothing we can do. But there are those people who have a heart prepared, but they just don't understand.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. They don't understand.
Right.
And we, as the good sower, as the good farmer, we do like the farmers here in Caledonia do, the good farmers in Caledonia do every year. They go out and they pick up stones. Mm-hmm. Right? They pick up stones for several different reasons. One is you don't want to break a point. Isn't that what you call it? Break a point off on your plow, because that costs you time and money. Right? But that also, in the physical farming world, but in people's lives, I want to help pick out the stones with people that when I put the plow in before I plant the seed, I don't break the work that it takes to get the good seed growing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to break the point off my plow.
Amen.
So I come along beside you, I love you, I teach you, I minister to you, I pour my life into you. You come along beside the people you know, you love them, you minister to them, you pour your life into them.
Mm-hmm.
Theodore Roosevelt said this, they will never care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Amen. Right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't, preaching to people, sharing the gospel with people doesn't matter until it's real.
Amen.
To them.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make it real? Well, you love them in the middle of their mess. You come along beside them. You minister with them, not to them. Right? You minister with them. You come along beside them. And again, Jesus said that there are some that just have a stony places that you can't get over. There are farmers' fields that just have this much topsoil. There's nothing we can do about that. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. So love them anyhow.
Gotta walk.
You got to, there you go. It's more than just talking it. It's a lifestyle.
You live it out.
It, that's
see.
It. Absolutely. And he says, and he, the what? Next one is thorny places. And he also, verse 22, he also that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. All right? There are some that wealth and prosperity gospel is right here. All right, that they hear the word of the Lord, they accept it, they grow, they start growing, but all of a sudden, they well, Well, like Peter did when he got out of the boat, he took his eyes off Jesus,
yeah.
started looking at the storms of, that was around him, and he sank immediately. People who hear the gospel and they start to grow, they hear about the kingdom, they start to grow and say, well, you know, I really would like to do... Hold on just a second, it's coming. The rich young ruler, all right? When he came to Jesus, he said, what must I do to earn eternal life? Okay, what must I do to earn eternal life? Jesus gave him a couple commandments, obey your mom and dad, don't cheat, don't steal, all those things. And I'm paraphrasing here. And the young ruler said, I have done this ever since my youth. Then Jesus said, go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and follow me.
Yeah.
And he could not do that because he had much stuff. He had a lot of wealth. The hardness, he wanted, what did I say last week? He wanted his best life now.
Yeah.
Right? All I want is what I can get right now. The tangible things of this world, I want that. So, all right, I know that there's a gospel kingdom that is offered to me, but I'm not willing to desire that more than the things of this world.
Right.
Those are thorns.
Right?
I really want the fullness of the kingdom, but you know what I really want? I really want the riches of this world.
Yeah.
You can't have them both.
Mm-mm.
Now, I'm not saying that you can't be a rich Christian. There's a lot of rich Christians. It's not what I'm saying. What the Bible here is saying is that you quit desiring the things of God
yeah.
for the things of the world. See, you cannot serve both God and mammon, money. You can't serve them both. You got to make up your mind. Choose you today which side you're going to be on. Right? And then if it takes selling all you have and following God, let me tell you this. You get rid of all your worldly stuff for God, guess what you're going to have?
More.
More. Yeah. Amen. More stuff.
Yeah.
More of God stuff. Right? You cannot outgive God. You can't do it. And when we realize that and that becomes real to us, all of a sudden the things of earth grow strangely
Amen.
Dim. Right? The more we serve God, the more we walk with God, the more we don't worry about the things of this world, we start worrying about the kingdom, seeking the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33, I think it is. Seek ye first that kingdom and all these other things. But if you only seek these other things, the things that the Gentiles seek, it will choke out the kingdom of God in you. I would love to come to church and come to worship, but my job won't allow it. All right, I love to read my Bible, but my job won't allow it. Both of those are not true.
Right.
Okay? They're not true. It may be what you think. Well, I can only go to work on Sunday. Well, how about Wednesday? Well, no. I hear so many people saying that Sunday is my only day of rest.
Yeah.
A lot of those are retired. You got all week to rest. You're retired. Come on.
Right? Come on, man.
Goes out there. And so, man, come on, man.
That was a shot across the bow and, from my rowboat across that big ship.
But that insinuates that the guy is stupid, the other guy.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Amen.
Come on, man.
But anyhow, back to the scripture. He that receives the good news, the news about the kingdom among thorns, those who are more concerned about this world, this present time, they have no eternal concept of life. I got to have whatever this world provides, you know. Those who die with the most toys wins, that attitude.
Yeah.
You know, those who die with the most toys leaves all their toys. You know, that's the truth. Yeah, what's that? You never see a U-Haul following a hearse. You're born in this world with nothing, and when you leave, guess how much you're bringing with you? Nothing. You came naked, you're leaving naked. Even if you got a nice suit of clothes on.
Yeah.
Which I think is really stupid. I'm sorry chasing this rabbit.
I think they take them off. The undertaker
does. I don't know about that. But they dress you in a $400 suit, and they bury you in the ground.
And they sell them.
Yeah.
I'll have to talk. Have you talked to Mr. Bean about that? I don't know.
We got a funeral guy. It.
Yeah, he never admitted it.
Maybe Mr. Bean doesn't.
Yeah, anyhow.
But besides all that, you see what I'm saying here? You know, we think this world is the only thing that matters.
Right.
This world don't matter at all. No. It really doesn't. It does not matter at all. And when we get our focus right, then the thorns, we don't worry about this world. Jesus cares for the sparrows, mm-hmm. right? They don't soil, they don't reap, and the Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than the sparrow? Right? Consider the lilies of the valley. Mm-hmm. Even Solomon, in his greatest clothes, was not arrayed as one of these. And it's here today, and it dies tomorrow, and it's thrown into the furnace. God cares more about you than the things of this world.
Amen.
You know? Mm-hmm. And many folks have these thorns in their relationship with God. I will only serve God as long as I get blessed.
Yeah.
In this earth. But this earth doesn't matter. It's all going to burn with the fervent
Amen.
Heat. There's nothing here that's going to last. So we need to tell the kingdom in such a way that people understand that the thorns, the things that they're looking at in this world, are not eternal things.
Amen.
To understand that there is a kingdom outside of the kingdoms of this world.
Yes.
To understand that there's more than what this world has to offer on the outside of this world. And so many folks get caught up in the world things, the deceitfulness of riches.
Amen.
Do you know that the riches are deceitful?
Yeah.
Who here? I have had a lot of money at one time in my life. I mean, I had boatloads of money. Really, I was in Louisiana in 1982. I was the head subcontractor in flooring in all of Louisiana. I got a plaque that shows it. I made more money than you could stack up. I mean, really and truly, I was rolling in the dough, and I lost it all. Amen. Riches do not last.
No, they don't.
They don't last. You have it today; it's gone tomorrow. It goes away quickly. You know, and he says these riches. And praise God! I praise God that God took that away from me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because I was all out of focus. I was looking the wrong direction. I thought I was getting something of worth,
Amen.
And it really has no worth in it. You know, what did all that money get me? It made my kids not like me. It made me work myself to death, right? I mean, it made me work every Christmas, right? I worked every Christmas, every Easter. The reason I worked on all the holidays, not just to keep me away from my family, but because nobody else would work those. And I could charge my price for it. And I made stupid money because of it. You know what I got to show for it? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. It was worth nothing. I wasted all that time. I wasted all that struggling for something that would not last.
Amen.
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 It was the deceitfulness of riches. And it choked out the word. Right? I back in those days, it was my early days in Christianity, right? It was my early days, just coming to understand. And, but I would rather work than go to church. The riches choked out the word of God in my life.
Right.
That's why I thought I was righteous when I would drink whiskey and witness.
Yeah.
I thought I was right. But I was so wrong, I didn't even know I was wrong.
I know.
It was choked out. Because of riches. And then that person, he becometh unfruitful.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It doesn't start little by little. And then you become slowly unfruitful.
Amen.
But then there is that receives on the good ground. Mm-hmm. Amen. I want to tell you right now that I had stony spots where the word could not sink in. I was that one seed among thorns. And for years, praise God, the seed still remained alive. Amen? The seed remained alive. Although I was concerned about the thorns, although I was a rocky piece of ground, the seed, the faithfulness of God remained. And somebody continually, year after year, sown the seed of the kingdom into my life.
Amen.
Until one day.
Amen.
One day I really got it.
Amen.
One day that seed fell on that spot of my heart that would cast out every stone and get away of every weed. Get
amen.
Away every weed.
Bless God.
Yeah, bless, amen.
He's so good.
God and his workers were faithful.
Yes, right.
They loved me in the middle of my mess. They cared about me. And it just didn't happen in one spot. God had people set up in my life year after year, month after month, time after time,
yeah.
continually sowing the kingdom into me.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And eventually, one day, it took.
Bless God.
Amen? And when it took, everything changed.
That's right.
Everything changed. Right? And when God moves on that person, everything changes. So, saint sower, don't quit sowing.
No.
Don't quit sowing. And see, your seed that you sow in someone's life, he may have turned it away in the stony times of his life. He may have turned away from the thorns in his life. He might be in that. And when you sow the seed, it might fall on the good ground.
That's right.
Right? He had, someone else did it years ago. Someone else did it years after that. But when you sow the seed, it just might be the time.
Amen.
But it also might be the time that there's still stones in their life.
Yeah.
Also might be the time when there's still thorns in their life. Doesn't mean you shouldn't sow.
That's right.
Doesn't mean you don't go there and you spend time, you minister, you help pull the weeds, you help remove the stones, and you continually sow seeds in someone's life.
Amen.
Because sooner or later, it's going to find the good ground.
Bless.
Amen. And maybe not. I said sooner or later it might. Well, they might not, because there are people who never accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There are people who never accept it. And I will weep for them on mm-hmm. the day of judgment. All right? But you know what they'll never be able to say, those who don't receive it on the good ground? They'll never be able to look across the crowd as Peter looked across the crowd at Jesus before the cock crowed the third time, before the cock crowed and he had rejected Christ three times, and they caught eyes across the way. On that day of judgment, you'll be standing there and you're going to be in the right side, and all those people that you witnessed to will be on the other side. And they're going to see you across the
yes.
way. At least they can't say, you never told me.
Right?
Right? I'll weep for them. I'll be brokenhearted for them. But I don't want one person that I see across the way to say, you never told me
Amen.
About this. At least if they're bound and determined to go to hell, let them have to jump across the mountain of Christ in your life.
Amen.
Right? Amen. You be that spot that they got to step around every time.
Yes.
So on that day, because there is eternal, there's eternity looking at them, don't let them be able to say, Curtis, why didn't you tell me about this place? Why didn't you tell me about the condemnation? Why didn't you tell me about the grace of God? I was your friend, and we talked about football, we talked about the weather, we talked about politics, but we never talked about Jesus Christ and his eternal salvation. Never let that be said of you.
Amen. Help us, Lord.
Amen. Help us, Lord. Never let that be said of you. Sower of the seed.
Yes.
Never quit doing good work.
No.
Never quit spreading the gospel. Even though they reject you.
Amen.
And even though they rejected 50 people before you.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time in my life, I'm sure, that people said, that man will never get saved. Right? And can I get a witness? All right, I know some of y'all were already born on the sunny side of life. I was born on the other side, right? And if you would have known me in my teenage, in my early 20 years, the drunkard, the drug addict, the whoremonger, if you would have known me then, the curser, the brawler, the fighter, the wicked man I was, you would say, that man can never accept Jesus. But God, amen? But even when I was nasty and filthy and disgusting, somebody planted a seed and it died. Somebody planted a seed and it died. Somebody planted a seed and it died. Somebody planted the seed and it grew. Amen? There were different people, different times, different places, but God, the seed, the word, the kingdom was continually brought before me and brought before me because God is faithful. He's faithful. He sends the sower into the field. And even though the field is nasty and rocky and not all the seeds will grow, there's one, praise God, there's one waiting for the seed of the kingdom to be planted into them. And guess what you are? You're the sower.
The hound of heaven.
The hound of heaven, amen. That we must be that people.
Yes.
Amen. We must be that people. Because there's a good seed. There's a good ground. There's the one that will hear the word. He'll understand it. And he's going to start bearing fruit. Woo! Praise God. He's going to start bearing fruit. And you don't know what kind of fruit he's going to bring. It may bring forth 100-fold. Right? Somebody witnessed to Billy Graham before he got saved.
Yes.
Amen? Somebody witnessed to Charles Spurgeon before he got saved. Amen? Somebody witnessed to you before you got saved. But when you got saved, it started doing something.
Yes.
The seed grew. It started sprouting up. And you started telling other people.
Amen.
Right? And you might bring 100 people to Christ. I don't know. You might be that catalyst that starts a million people to coming to the Lord. I don't know. You might only be one who's 60 or some will bring 30. Who knows?
Right.
And you won't know. Especially if you don't start spreading some seed. Amen?
Yes.
I got the good news of Jesus Christ, but I'm too ashamed to share it with anybody. Paul said, I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because it is the power, the dynamite,
yeah,
to save. It brings salvation to the Jew first and then to the Gentile.
Bless.
Do not be ashamed of the seed of the kingdom of God.
No.
All right? Don't be ashamed of that. And when you plant the seed, people don't like it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
They
might have stones in their life you don't know about. They might have thorns in their life you can't understand. It is okay. Love them anyhow.
Amen.
Love them anyhow. Mm-hmm. Tell them about the kingdom of God.
Wow.
Tell them about the righteousness of God. And if you've touched that person 50 times and they won't take it, move to the next person.
That's right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not your seed bag that it's going to come out of.
Right.
Pray for that person. Pray that God would send somebody with beautiful feet. Woo! Praise God, with big old ugly corns and ingrown toenails. But they're beautiful feet because they are prepared with the gospel of peace. Because they have the good news.
Amen.
And that person,
amen,
that person that you know that you say can never get saved, they may never accept it from you, but they might accept it from somebody else.
Yeah.
Pray that God would send that person into their life. Right? Pray God will send that person into their life. Because you might not be the one.
Right.
You might be too close to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You could be,
yeah,
I'm their brother, I'm their dad, I'm their uncle. They won't accept it from me.
That's right.
But somebody else in their life.
Without honor in his own country.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's what's coming through my mind. Right.
Yeah.
Jesus was without honor in his own country. A prophet has no honor in his own country. And that's okay. It didn't stop Jesus from going there.
Amen.
You know? You got to go there. You got to try.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, that's okay too.
It's not your responsibility. It's his.
You can't save them. If you can't save them, they can get lost. Amen? So you need God. You
that's
need,
what it says.
Yeah.
Plant the seed and go to sleep.
There you go. Plant, yeah. Plant the seed and go to sleep.
By the grace of God, next week I'll use my notes. And we'll talk about the tares and the wheat. Amen? The kingdom, this is where Jesus starts. This is his first one where he talks about the kingdom of heaven is like unto. And the next 13 sermons that we're going to go through, there's 13 of them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. All right, so guess what you're going to hear a lot? The kingdom of heaven is like unto. So anyhow, folks, I love you. I absolutely love you. I want you to go plant seeds. My wife told me not to preach long. That didn't happen. All right, because she has something to say after church. And so anyhow, would Bridget or Joe or somebody go tell my wife? And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your love. Lord, we thank you for your holiness and your righteousness. Father, we thank you that you have given us the honor to spread the seed of the kingdom into a lost and dying world. Father, help us to love people through that stony part, to love people through that thorny part. Father, that we may be the one that plants the seed in the good ground, that it might grow. Father, I pray that you would send us, oh Lord, the fields are white and ready for harvest. Send forth laborers into your harvest, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Just give her 1 minute. Well, she told me to stop. I could go on. Y'all ready? I got page 3.
Hey, Annabeth, can I say something quick?
Yeah, yeah.
As you're talking about the farming and the stones and different things,
yeah.
Before I got saved, I had somebody tell me that your farmer should know. Know what? What are you talking about? I don't know. But as he's talking about rocks and different things, we don't necessarily always have to pick up our bad rocks and throw them away from us. Maybe we can just set them off to the side and they're good later or something like that. But the Lord's not going to let me tell you the rest of the story because it's not coming out. But it was just very interesting to me that this person would say that you should know what, because I'm farming. But we're saved by grace through faith. So as we're farming, as it Steve farms, it doesn't matter. I may bump into somebody from a different state, but by faith, just lay different particles down and let something else happen. I feel blessed most when I meet Mark from strangers. And if I'm not ashamed, love them. And the gospel comes out.
Amen.
And that's the most beautiful thing in where I'm at and how he can use me is just have the faith to just let it out, plant the seeds, and let God's grace bring the increase. Mm-hmm. I first time I met Mary Ann, it was like, that girl's weird.
Okay? But, yeah, we had a good conversation in my house, didn't we? Yeah.
No, and here we are 30 years later, and I'm saved, and I know where she's coming from. Bless her heart. So, I'll stop it. Thank you, everyone.
When you've got such a God.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for that testimony, Steve. And my bride? Smelling like a cat that ate the canary. I'll come down here.
Oh, yeah, that's better. We'll just stand across the stage.
I can sit down.
I have no voices, though, so. Okay. October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and we've never done anything.
No, we've never done this.
But this year was kind of special, different, 2020, and I just didn't want to let it go by without some things. And so this is really important. I took the letter of the pastor and I kind of wanted to explain them, make sure that everyone understands them, both the kids. P for pray. We know you pray with us and for us. A, always be bold and courageous like King Ben. S, you're a sheepdog. You care for your flock. And if you haven't noticed, we got sheepdog and sheep. You're the one that, you know, says that all the time. So, and truth, thank you for preaching the truth. Obedient, you are a role model. whether you like it or not, and remain resolute in your faith and perseverance. And there's the sheepdog thing, and we're gonna, if I have to sing this alone, you don't know about it, so don't worry about it. Ready? P-A-S-T-O-R, Pastor, we love you. The Mickey Mouse song is mine. And he goes around singing C-U-R-T-I-S. So that's why I had to use that. But we do love you.
Thank you, baby. Yeah. Oh, love you. Love y'all, church.
Always be bold. There don't be go. Afraid of anybody.
The only one I'm scared of is you. Thank you guys so much. Bless my heart, you do. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Love you.
Love those shirts.
Thank you.
Pastor, that's one of the stuff for me, too. Bold and courageous.
Yes.
That's this guy.